Repeat every Easter Sunday that the pyramids of Egypt are famous because they contain the mummified bodies of ancient Egyptian kings. Westminster Abbey is noted because within its wall there contain the remains of many English nobles and notables. Muhammad's tomb is famous because his bones are there. But the garden tomb of Jesus is famous because it's empty. And there is a fact in life. We all are going to die. Somebody here is not going to die? Okay, carry on. And the only person who conquered death was Jesus Christ. And that is excited. I don't know you, but there is a fact that salvation is through Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. And this is what Paul, who was an academic, a religious person, his heart was about that. And when he sent his letter to the church in Rome, he said, if you declare with your mouth, shall we read it together? If you Amen. And it's excited because this is all about. Because we can be successful in life. We could have all the money. We could have all the titles. We are going to die. Sorry. But for a Christian, that is excited because we are going to see who? The King of Kings, our Creator, our Savior. Let's pray for a moment before. I just want to share with you about 5-10 minutes. But let us pray before I continue. Heavenly Father, we want just to, before we leave this place, we want to hear about you. Father, we want to hear about faith. Help us to understand a little bit more of that. And we place this time into your hands, Lord. May your Holy Spirit come and touch our lives. Challenge us. Comfort us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The apostle Paul, he is trying to define faith. Somebody said, Freddie, how can I define faith? Here we have a definition of faith. Very simple about Christianity. And he starts by, you know, the context of these verses is first verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. And if we put it on the screen there, they said, brothers and sisters, my heart desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be safe. And he says, well, you look like religious people. They have the temple. They have the sacrifice. They have their liturgy. They were doing good. They thought they were doing good. But he says, you need to be safe. You need to be safe. You have your religion. You have to be safe. That's what Paul is saying to the people. And then in verse 2, very quickly he says, I can testify about them, you know, the Israelites, that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. You have religion. You go to the temple. You are ticking the religious boxes. And Paul says, you need to be saved. They were saying, the religious people, they were having the wrong approach. They would have the wrong frame of mind. They were saying, I am righteous enough. I tick the boxes. I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to be forgiven. They have a zeal for God, and they were making a painful effort to win God's approval. Their zeal, however, was not according to the spiritual knowledge. So Paul is saying, you need to know the righteousness of God. And he was in trouble for that. He said, since they didn't know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. The Jews has a problem. They have a problem with the gift of God. It can be easy. Paul is saying, you need to accept Jesus. These people accepted Jesus one day. Then do you receive what? Salvation. They said, no, it cannot be easy. I need to tick the boxes. I need to do this in order to achieve that. They were having that dilemma in their life. So Paul here gives us a definition of faith. And he carries on with a teaching that we don't have time this morning. He said, Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Faith. And he carries on in verse 5, in verse 6. But then he starts to develop the verses we read this morning. Forgiveness of God comes through faith. Shall we say it together? That's it. Very easy. What is faith? But certainly, he said, involves your mind, okay? Jesus came, he lived, we saw the video clip, he performed miracles, he was crucified, he was buried, and he is risen. That's what they did this morning. We need water like that to portray the picture. That we die, we have been buried, but we are risen with him. That's what you did. So you need your mind, but not only your mind. You know, it's not just in your mind. You need what? Your mouth. You need to say, like these five people were saying, well, at some points, I need to do that. You need your mouth to say it. But it is also in your heart. It can be just in your mind and say with your heart, in your mind, your mouth, you need your heart. If I will say, if I need God, I need you, I am thankful for what you did, your heart is involved. You can say, well, I like sinning. Maybe you have problems with drugs. Maybe you have problems with alcohol. Maybe you have problems with lust. Maybe you have something that even your wife doesn't know. Maybe your husband doesn't know. Your parents doesn't know. In your mind. But when you start using your heart, you feel sorry. Say, God, I feel dirty. I need to change. I need to change. But if it stays in your mind, you don't mind going to church and leave your church and carry on doing what you are doing that you know is wrong. It's like, you know, if somebody gives you a brand new home in London, 5 bedrooms, I don't know about that, but if somebody give you a brand new house and they say, here you are the keys. Oh, no mortgage. Everyone laughs. No mortgage. It's free. How would you feel? Thankful. Oh, thank you very much. You feel appreciated. That is salvation. We need to, you know, Jesus died for you. On Friday, we remember that gloomy day. He did it for you. So your heart's involved. And you are thankful for that. This time of Easter is good to reflect about what the Lord did for you and for me. When that happens, it hits your heart. And when you are going to sing, you remember. Wow. Sorry, Lord, I've been selfish. I need to change. But when you start thinking and just use your mind, there is something wrong. Because it's like a person who has a pain. And says, okay, maybe I have something, so much food, so much McDonald's in my case. And I said, I have to take it easy. Don't eat too much. And I said, then again, the pain. I said, well, maybe I start doing some exercise. You start thinking. And I said, oh, no, I'm going to change my diet. But then the pain goes intense. And you start thinking. And you dial 999 because you feel the pain is very intense. Because you are having a heart attack. You see what I'm talking about? When you heart, when you just cry for help, you change. When faith is in our mind, we can say to ourselves, you know, when faith, it's just there. They say, well, I'm not too bad. I haven't killed anyone. I am a good father. I am a good mom. I am a good citizen. I have served this country for many years. I have a person in the previous church. He was in the war. He has his medal. He used to say, I have been serving the community. Until one day he said, I need to receive Jesus. But when it's in your mind, you say, well, I'm not so bad. I don't need salvation. When faith enters into your heart, you call upon the Lord. And you know, because heart believes the promises of the Lord. You just believe it. You call 999, you know what's going to happen. Ambulance is coming. They will take you to hospital, hopefully a good one. And they will look after you. But you're not saying, well, I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't want to do it. No, no. You just go. That is faith. And you start believing. You know, Romans 10 verse 13 says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. Shall we say it together? An ambulance will come. You will be okay. When we yield our life to Jesus, we know that he's going to change my addiction. We know that he's going to change my temper. We know that he's going to change me. My duty is to call. And the promises is that anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. But maybe you feel shame. You say, whoa, I feel embarrassed. What my friends are going to think if I come to be baptized? What my friends are going to think when I carry my Bible, go to church? What my friends are going to, I'm going to lose my boyfriend, my girlfriend. Let me tell you something. There is a wonderful promise. Carlo Carretto says, Jesus' resurrection makes it impossible for man's story to end in chaos. It has to move inexorably toward light, toward life, towards love. You will not be embarrassed. There was an atheist fighting with some, there is no God, there is no God. And then I remember this pastor coming to him and said, well, okay, there is no God. But let me tell you something. If I am a fool believing that there is no God and the end is here, and actually is God, I will be okay. But if they just say there is no God, and then the judgment comes and there is God, I will be feeling so sorry for you. You see the point? You will not be ashamed when we respond from our hearts. In life could be like a story. Many people, I met a couple who, they put all their retirement to buy a beautiful land in Spain. And they were about to retire, and they were working hard, and suddenly it was the completion day. After 2 years, they have built a beautiful house with swimming pool and everything. Can you imagine? They go there to Spain to receive the keys and go there. And then the same day, the police came to demolish more than half of their property because the estate agents have sold something that they didn't belong to them. Can you imagine the shock of this couple? And I can tell you a few stories of people I have met. I saw one husband who died after that. The shock. That is life when Christ is not there. I invite you this morning as I conclude that if Christ is not there, it will be a shame. Because there will be no eternal life. But there is a promise. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. How can I be sure? How is it I can be sure? Well, it's not based on religious, my friends. It's not because I am Catholic, I am Baptist, I am Methodist, I was christening, I was confirmed. For the Jews, it was their own rituals. It is by faith. Surrendering. It is so easy to come to him as long as we are sincere from here, from the bottom of our hearts. And then tell God you need him. Tell him how much you're struggling with your sexuality. Tell him how much you're struggling with your prejudice. Tell him how much you're struggling with the things nobody knows. But don't tell him, God, I was born like that. Don't tell him. Don't tell that. Because God can change you. God can renew your life. God can make something precious from you if you confess with your mouth and you surrender your life. Salvation is come from Jesus Christ. May the Lord help you, this Easter, to remember those simple verses. If you declare with your mouth, shall we read it together? If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and yield your life to him. Salvation is free, but it will not be a reality if faith is only in your mind or things that you do to to get to heaven. If that happens, it becomes an academic exercise or liturgy. No. Please give your heart to God and you will receive eternal hope, eternal hope, eternal life. Let's bow our heads and just spend a moment in prayer. And then Ian is coming to lead us with our last hymn. Heavenly Father, help us not to be religious people. Help us not to be people who rely upon our own effort, knowledge, or skills. Help us to surrender our lives to you, to believe in our minds, to confess with our mouths, but with our hearts, so we can surrender our lives completely to you, knowing that you can change us, you can renew us, you can give us eternal life. Amen.